Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama Kuf Vav. We're in Kuf Hamud Beis. We're starting with the words Yosef today. It's the second wide line on the Amud. And Kfiras Mammon. So we are discussing today, and we will continue to discuss for the entirety of today, as we've been doing for the last couple of days. And that is the denial of money, monetary obligation. The monetary obligation can come as a result, of Gzela. In other words, you stole money, so obviously now you have a monetary obligation. Monetary obligation was induced by the fact that you stole money, but fear can come about through a number of other monetary obligations. You owe worker wages, you were deposited money, whatever the case is. In other words, you have a monetary obligation, the person comes over to you and says, "No, it's time to pay me." And you say, "What are you talking about? I don't owe you the money," and you're co-fair, and you deny, and after deny you made a shvua, and after making a shvua, you finally come clean. And you're modest, so the Torah says, under those circumstances, with a kfira, shvua, hoda'a, with those three, so the Torah says, under those circumstances, what you need to do is that you need to obviously pay back. In other words, you have to pay back keren. Then you're going to add a chomish, and then you're also going to bring a karban asham. Good. So those are the instructions that we find at the end of Parshas Vayikra. And what we've been doing, because the Mishnah brought it up, is that we've been discussing this. We've been discussing this extensively. Yesterday, we ended off with a chiddush. And the chiddush is that the kfiras mamon will result in a karban, even if you're not being kofar mamon. I know that sounds radical, but yesterday we said that. Now, to explain that better, what do you mean if you're not kofar mamon? If you're not kofar mamon, what are you being kofar on? So you're not being kofar mamon, but you're being kofar on potential mamon, a representation of mamon. Let's say, for example, somebody comes over and says to me, "Hey, that's the shore. You took it from me. You took it from you. What are you talking about? You entrusted it to me. I'm a shomer chinam. So, of course, I'm going to give it back to you." So, over there, so that is going to be considered a kofar. Now, this is all as per the position of Rabba with a hey. And that is that when you go ahead and turn the narrative into, "I didn't steal it. I was a shomer chinam," so that's a form of kfira. How is that a form of kfira? In other words, you are admitting it's his. You're going to give it back to him. So it's a form of kfira because by turning the narrative into, "I didn't steal it, I was a shomer chinam," shomer chinam is pater from gneva v'aveda. What it will do is it will relax your liability. A relaxation of liability also is considered kfira's mamon. What do you mean? In other words, you're going to give it back, yes, but once your liability has been relaxed, so now there can be a circumstance in which, had the item been stolen from you, had you lost it, you wouldn't have to pay. Even a relaxation of liability is considered a kfiras mamon. That's what we learned yesterday. It's novel. It's a chiddush. Good. That's why we came to the daf yesterday. And not only that, what else did we entertain in terms of a kfiras mamon? Let's say chamisha avar alav Pesach. I stole somebody's single malt scotch. Pesach now is come and gone. Now this chametz is the single malt scotch is also b'shtiyah, it's also b'hana. And now he comes over to me and says, "No, give it back to me." And I say, "What are you talking about? I don't have it." What is its current value right now? Zero. And what do? I'm denying it. That also is going to be kfiras mamon. That's a kfiras mamon. Right now it's valued at zero. True. However, if the single malt scotch were to be lost, what would I have to do? I'd have to pay for it. In other words, this is a davar hagorim lamamon. And a davar gorim lamamon, so that's going to have the status of mamon. That's also going to be considered kfiras mamon. Okay, admittedly, by the way, starting off really subtle, but the point that we made yesterday, and we're just going to pick up from where we left off yesterday, is that when it's kfiras mamon, it doesn't have to be actual mamon. It could be potential mamon, a representation of mamon, a relaxation of liability. It doesn't have to be actual mamon in order for it to qualify as kfiras mamon. Good. That is all hopefully good setup, and we are now going to continue where we left off yesterday. Kof Hamad Beis, Yosef. Yosef, Rabba, V'kamalai Shmaita, Ezve, Rav Amram, L'Rabba. Okay. Right where the gears is being changed to Rabba with a hey, because that's the position that we just went over, and now the following. And that is, V'ki Cheshbar, Pratlamo D'Bikar. So here we are in the same parsha. We haven't budged from this parsha. So you were koche, you were kiches, you denied. So pralamo de baker, and what does that mean? Is that the exclusion over here is, let's say, mo de baker. What does that mean? Ketzad. Let's explain. So shor ganafti v'amar lo ganafti. So again, the claim of the accusation is you saw my shor, and he says no, I didn't. And mativa atzecha. So the toein says that's so funny. The plaintiff is saying, you know, you claim that you didn't steal my shor, but I'm looking at your yard right now, and there's my shor right there in your yard. So ata mechartali. So now the counter argument, the nitan says, okay, there's really good explanation why your shor is in my backyard, and it could be an assortment of explanations. Meaning, here's just a catalog of explanations that could be given. So number one, ata mechartali. You sold it to me. Number two, atana satali mematani, gifted it to me. Avicha machruli, your father sold it to me. Avicha nasnali mematana, your father gifted it to me. We're already up to our fourth possible explanation of what your animal's doing in my yard. Achar parasi rats, me'elab batzli, it chased my animal down, meaning that it went in on its own. Alternatively, me'elab batzli, again, it just went down on its own volition. Toh baderch matzasiv, it was lost, I found it. Shamachinam ani alav, you entrusted me to watch it. You don't remember. Shamar sachar ani alav, you paid me to watch it. Shol ani alav, I borrowed it. You don't remember that. V'nishba v'hoda yachol yechayev. So in all these cases. So basically what you're doing in all these cases is that you're turning the narrative. Okay? In other words, oh yeah, your animal is on my property, but, in other words, then just fill in any one of the above explanations. And not only do you give the above explanation, but you also make a shvua on your version of what happened. So yachol yei chayev. So I might have thought that you'd be chayev. So tamalamer v'kicheish ba pralamo debeikar. Okay. So the Braisa tells us that although not good what you did, in other words, you turn the narrative. And when I say turn the narrative, it's a nice way of saying you lied. But in other words, but you didn't deny total. You just simply said here's a better version. Better meaning better for me. In all of the above cases, you're not going to be chayev a chomish and an asham. What you did was wrong. That was lying. Not only that, you swore. But in other words, it doesn't get you to chomish and asham because you are not kofer b'ikr. Now, we just learned together. It's not modeh b'mitzvos. So we just learned together that in order to elicit a chiyuv of chomish and asham. So you have to be kofer b'ikar. And obviously all this is opposed to Rabbah. Because Rabbah was the one who just taught us that over here, even with a much more subtle kofer b'mamon, it still will result in kfiras mamon. So Amr lay tadura. So Rabbah says to Rav Amram, Rav Amram was the one who asked him the question, tadura. Tadura is not a nice comment. In fact, if you look at Rashi, mechusar leiv, okay, you lack understanding. Okay, so... Good. So Rabba obviously was very unhappy. So Kitanya Hid Kamalei Helech. So in all of the above, so what happened was is that the Nitan, the defendant, said, oh, and by the way, here it is. Okay? In other words, Helech.
Take it back.
So Kika Mina de Kamabagan. And what I was talking about where the animal was inaccessible and I wasn't ready or prepared to give it back. So in other words, in the Bryce's case, the reason why you're going to be putter from Chomish and Asham is because you are not at all reluctant on returning it. Okay, good. So Rabbah felt that none of this is going to be a challenge to him, and Rabbah is secure in his position that to be kofer b'mamon, it doesn't have to be actual mamon. It can be anything that we discussed at the beginning of Shir today. Okay. So ata mechartah limaimod debeikarika. Okay. So now, on some of the narratives that we just gave, right? I don't know, there was over a half a dozen of different explanations of what your animal is doing on my property. And all of them are partial deniers. Partial denials, meaning a rewriting of the narrative of what happened. So one of the examples that we gave is the Tamachartali. Okay, so you sold it to me, meaning I didn't take it from you, you sold it to me. So my moda b'ikar ikar. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand. How is that at all similar to a kfira? So lo tzricha damalei lo nasati lach demei shakal turich vazil. So the Gemara says, well, in other words, in this explanation of you sold it to me, you also come forward with the you sold it to me, but you know what? I didn't pay for it yet. Meaning we agreed to the sale. Not only that, I did the mashicha and the animal's in my property, but I haven't paid for it yet. And you know what? I don't have the funds. Here, take it back. That's the rewriting of the narrative. Now, the reason why this explanation is necessary in the Braisa is because over here, there still is a monetary obligation. Okay. So, you gifted it to me. Your father gifted it to me. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Meaning, there is no kfira whatsoever. So, so the Gemara says, well, it was a gift with strings attached. Okay? And so, in other words, you gifted it to me, your father gifted it to me, but with an expectation of some sort of reciprocation. Okay? Now, unclear what it was, but it doesn't matter. In other words, there were strings attached, there was conditions attached to the gift. Okay? Usually we don't call that a gift, but whatever. or maybe we do. Whatever. So under those circumstances, so now what? So now there was a gift with strings attached, and I say, look, you don't remember you gifted it to me, and there were conditions, and I'm not ready to comply to those conditions. Here, take it back. Okay. So, Torah B'derech Matzasi, another one of the rewriting narratives is that, what are you talking about? I didn't steal it. I found it. It was lost. So the Gemara says, Lema Yibai Lech Ladurli. So then the Tohen should say to the Nitan, oh, really? Interesting. So you found a lost animal, and you're holding on to it? Don't you know what you're supposed to do when you find a lost animal? Return it to owner. So Amar Avu Adishmoa Ba'omer Shvua Veda Matzasi V'la Yisi Yodeshi Shokha Shachzir V'Nalach. So the Gemara says, okay, so what happened was is that he said, look, I found the animal. I didn't know who to return it to. I didn't know whose animal it was. Okay. All right. Okay, so far so good. This is just really a conclusion, a completion of the point the rabbi made yesterday, and that is to be kofer b'mamon. It doesn't have to be actual mamon. So it could be a representation of mamon, a causation of mamon. In other words, it doesn't have to be mamon. It's enough to be mamon adjacent, and that would still be considered a kfir's mamon. And what the Gemara did is the Gemara attacked rabbi, the Gemara then defended rabbi as well. Okay. Let's for a couple minutes talk about suppression of testimony. Okay, you have testimony and you're subpoenaed to go to court in order to submit testimony, and what do you decide to do? No, I don't know anything. So a denial of having the testimony. And not only do you deny having the testimony, but the Torah describes v'nefesh, also vayikra perakeh. A little bit unclear what this is doing over here in our sugya, but doesn't matter. And we're going to only spend a couple minutes over here. But just to give you a little primer, so the pasuk says, this is Perakei, pasuk aleph. V'nefesh kisechta v'shama kol alav v'hu eido ra'u yada im lo yagid v'nasav v'no. Okay. So you have testimony, but you elect not to submit that testimony. V'hevi yaseh shema la shema chata sara asher chata. And in doing so, you even swear that you don't have testimony. So now what do you have to bring? You have to bring a carbon asham. Okay, this is what's called the Shvuas Ha'edus. Shvuas Ha'edus, you have testimony, you suppress testimony. You swear you don't have it. And then afterwards you admit that that's what you did. So you bring a carbon asham. Good. So Tanya Amar Ben Azay Shal Shvuas Ein. So there are three circumstances in which you would bring a carbon asham. Number one, Hikir Ba. So the Veloba Motza. So what you do is you recognize so that this, you recognize the animal, Veloba Motza. So, but you don't know who found the animal. In other words, the person who, quote-unquote, found the animal. You recognize the person who found the animal, but you don't. But not the animal itself. And in number three, you didn't recognize anything. So the Gemara immediately jumps on case number three. So loba v'loba motza kushak ishtaba. If you don't recognize anything, not the person who took it, not the animal itself, and then they come and they ask you for testimony, and you swear, I don't know anything, you're right, meaning you don't know. You have no recognition. So Ema Bal Mitzah. So the Gemara says, okay, so a quick touch up on that last point, and the last point of the Braisa. You do recognize the person who took it. You do recognize the animal. So, Lamai Hilchasa, Rav Ami Amar, Rabbi Chanina Liftor, Ushmul Amar Lechiyov. Okay, so the Gemara says over here the following, and that is that under these circumstances where you encountered a Shomer Aveda, and you saw him take the animal into his property, and now, in any of these three circumstances, where you have partial recognition or full recognition of the animal and the person who took it, and you suppress testimony, and you swear you don't have testimony, so the Braisa says, in all these three cases, now in all these three cases, dot, dot, dot. Meaning, and now what? So we have two versions of what? Rav Ami says that you are that you're pater, and Shmuel says you're chayev. And the Gemara says, now for clarification purposes, what are we talking about over here? Upa plukta dani tanai de tanya mashbi eid echad pater, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Siddiq, Shemin mechayev. Ah, perfect. In other words, and really what this machlokas amarayim is doing is just simply reflecting a machlokas tanayim. And over here, what is the issue? The issue is the following. How many Edom are being subpoenaed to court? One. Meaning, you're just but one witness. Now, we know that that money cannot be extracted from anybody with one witness. You need two witnesses in order to extract money. We all know that. We also know that when it comes to one witness, although cannot extract money, but will demand a shvua from the defendant. Okay? In other words, Eid Echad is Mechayiv Shvua. We all know that as well. And so over here, this is the following discussion. And that is that you are a single witness subpoenaed to come to court to testify. Now, what's my testimony going to do? The only thing it's going to do is elicit a shvua. Now, is that mammon? Obviously, the answer is no. But even though it's not mammon, but it's mammon adjacent, how is it mammon adjacent? Because in the event that the defendant elects not to make a shvua, he's going to have to pay. So this one witness who will demand a shvua could produce money. That's why, right? That's why it's mammon adjacent. It's a causative of mammon. And so now, if you're that one witness who is subpoenaed to come to court, and you elect not to, and you swear you don't know anything, so are you chayv a karban shvua? Yes or no? So once again, this straddles the discussion of what's your definition of mammon. Are you going to have a more defined definition of mammon? Mammon is mammon. Or are you going to have a more expansive definition of mammon? Mammon adjacent. So the Gemara says, b'maika miflugi. And the Gemara says, this is it. This is a machlokas. Mar sever davar garm l'mammon k'mammon dame. Mar sever lav k'mammon dame. Beautiful. And that's exactly the machlokas. A davar garm l'mammon. In other words, does that have the status of mammon? Yes or no? Good. Perfect. We continue. Amar of Sheshes. Hakofer bibikadon. Nasa lav gazlam v'chai bonesin. Okay, so. What are the steps that we've been going over now for the last couple of days? You owe money. You are taken to court. You made a claim. You deny. You swear. And then you're modeh. Okay. So let's go over those three steps once again. You deny. You swear. And then you're modeh. Okay. Of those three, which is really the kicker? Is it denial? Or is it the shvua? Or is it the subsequent hodah? Well, it depends on what we're talking about. Meaning... So we are right now currently discussing, when do you become a gazlan? In other words, you're holding somebody else's item. You deny having have it. That's a kfira. You made a shvua, reinforcing your denial. Obviously, with the hoda afterwards, there's really not much to discuss. Your moda. But in other words, is it the kfira or is it the shvua that will render you a gazlan? So Rav Sheshet says, kfira. Kfira is going to render the shvua. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's do that again. Let's do it correctly. Kfira is going to render you a gazlan. So the Vitana Tuna, the Gemara says, and on top of that, we have a Braisa, supports it as well. So good. So what we're going to do is that we're going to say that you are a gazlan already by the point of denial. So we have it once in our parsha, Veheshiv is Zil Asher Gazal, and that is the punishment. Meaning you are a gazlan with the obligation to obviously to return, and the pasuk and parshas kedoshim. So that tells us that you are not allowed to deny. That's the azara. So my love lo nishmamon lo nishvua. So the Gemara says, now isn't that at the point of mamon? Now, Rashi's girsa over here, it works out a little bit better. Isn't that at the point of kfira? That's Rashi's girsa. So, and at that point in time, you're already gazlan. The Gemara says, no, shvua. No, not necessarily. It could be that you're only a gazlan at the point of shvua, not the point of kfira. Now, again, let's just try to clear this up a little bit. At the point of kfira, what you're doing is not good. In other words, you have an obligation, a monetary obligation. The person comes over to you, makes a claim against you, a correct claim against you, and you deny. The denial of owing the money when you in fact owe the money, that's bad. What Rav Sheshet is teaching us is that not only is it bad, but you are at that point now the registered gazlan at that point in time. And as Rashi points out over here, you being the registered gazlan, so up until this point in time, so you had certain exemptions, right, the relaxation of liability. Once you are a gazlan, there is absolutely no relaxation of liability. You're chayev in geneva, aveda, right? You're chayev in everything. All right, no need to list it out, right? You're even chayev in ones. So Rav Sheshet is telling us that will come at the point of kfira. You don't have to get to shvua. Already at the point of kfira, you're chayev. So the Gemara says now, in the Braisa, so the way we're explaining the Braisa is that the Braisa is talking about kfira, right? And the Gemara said, not necessarily. What the Braisa could be talking about is that you were kofar and you made a shvua. The Gemara says, Hamid Diktani Seifa, look at the end of the Braisa. Let's read the end of the Braisa. Hamid Diktani Seifa, Vishaba Mechal Dereisha Lav Dishtaba Diktani Seifa, Vinishbal Shaker Lamanu Onesh, Azar Minayin Tamalamar Lo Sishakru. Good. So the Sefer of the Braisa talks about Shavua. So now, once you look at the Braisa in its totality, part one of the Braisa is talking about Kfira, presumably. Part two of the Braisa is talking about Shavua. Now the ramifications of Shavua in the Braisa is, obviously, you're going to have to pay Chomish and you have to bring a Karban Asham. But the point is that once I see, there are two parts of the Braisa, and once I see that the second part of the Braisa is in fact talking about Shavua, so it would be redundant for the first part of Braisa also to be talking about Shavua. So Amri Idividi Dishtaba. So the Gemara says, okay, I'm still going to argue that both parts of the Braisa are talking about Shavua. And Kan Hoda Kan Shabao Edim. Okay. And one Braisa is, the first part of the Braisa is talking about where you admitted. And the second part of the Braisa is talking about where you admitted. The first part of the Braisa is that Edim Kam. So also Edim Chai Baunsim, Oduye Eduye Chai Bekeren Chomish Vasham. So if Edim come, meaning you were kofir, and after your kfira, how do we know that you lied? Because Edim came. So under those circumstances, so now you're going to be Chai Venonis. However, in the case of Hoda, so now you're going to be Chai in Keren Chomish and Asham. Okay, good. So what we don't have right now is a solid proof to Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says that already at the point of kfira, you're a gazlan. Mesa Rami Bar Chama v'shechenegdo chashad al shvua keitzad. Okay, so the vast majority of the time, if there's a shvua in Beis Din, that means that the defendant is going to make a shvua so he doesn't have to pay. There are going to be occurrences where we're going to not allow the defendant to pay. But what we're going to do is we're going to flip the shvua from the defendant to the plaintiff. Plaintiff is going to make the shvua in order for him to be able to collect. This is what's called kenegdo. Now, this example, what are examples of kenegdo? The examples of kenegdo is where the defendant is a registered liar. Registered liar. Okay, so the, okay. Means that he has a track record, meaning that he's done this in the past.
Everybody knows
certified. So, it's on his license. Okay, and what's on his registry? So, in other words, he made shvuos in the past. Shvuos pikadon, shvuos edus, shvuos shav. Okay. Anyway, v'imisa. Okay, now, let's imagine that Rav Sheshet is right. Rav Sheshet says that you're a gazlan already at the point of kfira. So now, if Rav Sheshet is right, so what should be on the registry? What should be on the registry is just kfira, meaning just a denial by itself. Meaning, according to Rav Sheshet, a denial equals gazlanus. So at that point in time, why isn't that in the Braisa? In other words, that should be included in the list of things that would register him as a licensed liar. So, bikfiru divsalei. So Amri, so in the yeshiva, so they want to defend Rav Sheshet, so this is what they say. So the Gemara says, you know, sometimes a denial, it can be justified and rationalized. Doesn't make it right, but in other words, but we can understand. Let's say, for example, someone comes over to you and says, bring me back my animal that you took. Okay. Let's say you took it. Let's say you have it. But right now, I have every intention of giving it back. I just need to buy time. So what I'll do for the moment is I'll be kofir. But the kfir over here is just to buy time. How do I know that? So the Gemara gives the example. Let's say right now, currently, the animal is not on his property, but the animal's out ba'agam, in the swamp. Meaning it's off site right now. And he just wants time. He wants to buy time. So under those circumstances, that would be kind of kfirah, where even Rav Sheshet would say, we're not going to call him a registered liar. We're not going to immediately call him a gazlan. There is a plausible explanation. Doesn't make it right, but there is a plausible explanation why he denied. So teida dam ravidi baravena kofer bemelva kashaleidus. And the Gemara says, and look, this idea of plausible explanations, again, doesn't make it right. But there's plausible explanations.
Would you call it benefit
of the doubt? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, 100%. So I'll give you another example of this. Another example of this is the following, and that is that you borrowed money. Guy comes over and says to you, okay, new, pay me back. You're kofer b'milva. You deny owing the loan. So now, kashal eidus. That in of itself does not possibly lay eidus. Again, what's the idea? The idea over here is that I'm just buying time. Meaning, I owe the money. I know I owe the money. I'm just buying time. However, because of apostle ages, but as we turn to the top of today's daf, kuvavam and aleph, if let's say you are kofer in a pikadon, now by pikadon, how are you buying time? You're not buying time. In other words, what you're doing is you're just simply denying in the hopes that you get to keep the item. So there is no plausible explanation, and there you would be apostle ages. So the point is that there are circumstances of plausible explanation of why you deny. So over here, even by a pikadon, Rav Sheshet will tell you, in a circumstance, I don't know how we know all this, but in a circumstance where there was a pikadon, he was accused of not returning it, he said, I don't have it. So let's say the pikadon is off-site, we could suggest, Rav Sheshet is suggesting, that under those circumstances, he's just looking to buy time. Okay. V'hamar ilfa shvua kone. Okay, now, the Gemara is still one more time attacking Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says that a kofer is a gazlan. So the Gemara says, what about Ilfa? Ilfa made the comment of Shvua Kona that when do you acquire the item by Shvua? So Shvua dekanya v'kfir lo kanya. So achinami dekame ba'agan. So the Gemara says, okay, we could say the same thing over there. In the case of Ilfa, meaning only at the point of Shvua are you a gazlan. Why didn't you become a gazlan already by kfira? Again, same thing. Maybe it's off-site. Mm-hmm. The Gemara says, or maybe Ilfa's comment was a totally different comment, making, not a different comment, but a totally different intent of what he was trying to say. What was he trying to say? It could be that Ilfa was saying the same thing as Rav. Now, everyone strap in, because for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to be discussing this comment of Rav. Okay, and I'm telling you, it's a big chiddush. And that is the following. I read it, now let's explain it. According to Rav, somebody makes a claim against you. You have my money. I simply say, no, I don't. I'm kofer. Okay, good. We go to court. I make a shvua in court that I don't owe the money. Okay, so according to Rav, under those circumstances, now what happens? What happens afterwards is achru kach ba'edim. Witnesses come forward and say that I did, in fact, take the money. And I lied in the courtroom. So according to Rav now, I'm kona the money. In other words, with a kfira and with a hodah, and it, not my admission to wrap it all up, because that's all we've been talking for the last couple of days, but not an admission, but rather a discovery via Edom that I in fact took the money. So according to Rav, I was kona. How was I kona? I was kona with the shvua. Okay.
So you pay his kefil?
I pay nothing. In other words, I was kona the mamun. Now, I know as I'm saying this, by the way, you're thinking, you're thinking to yourself, it can't be. It can't be. It can't be that you're going to, that you lied and we're going to reward you and give you the benefit now of the money that you took because how? Because I made a kinyan. What kinyan did you make? The kinyan of Shvuah.
He did two things wrong.
He stole and he swore. Right. I'll even count it as three. In other words, he stole and he denied and he swore. Okay. So strike one, two, and three. And yet he's going to be Shvuah. The Gemara is going to be spending, right? I know this is going to take a moment. I'm filibustering while everyone's processing. So I know this will take a moment to process. I know it sounds strange. In my mind, by the way, this sugya over here is my idea. You don't have to buy into it. This idea over here is like an unbelievable parallel to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin in the eighth parak discusses a similar idea that when someone breaks into my house and steals an item, And he successfully escapes with the item. Rav says he was kona. He acquired the item. So and how was he kona the item? Bidamim kananuhu. He risked his life. He risked his life in taking the item, and therefore when he takes the item and leaves with it, so he acquired the item. Now that also, by the way, is gonna make your head spin, right? That's a wild idea. And by the way, if you take a look at the two sugyas side by side, right now in my head, I got two columns. And I have these two sugyas side by side. So the structurally, right, it flows the same way. And it's whatever. It's just it whatever. I've been thinking about this a lot, and so but for another time. And then we're gonna go through the daf right now. We're just gonna follow our daf, but like literally, like it's a similar idea. In other words, we're rewarding bad behavior. We're not rewarding it, by the way. I hope you understand. Meaning this is a very legal discussion of methodology of how to be kona, right? What are methods of kinyan? So obviously the legal methods of kinyanim, which is, you know, the Gemara and Kedushin. And now, right, this is not recommended kinyanim, but they're kinyanim. They're methods of how to be kona. So over here, you're kona via shvua. It's an amazing chiddush of Rav.
So he's put from Osham?
No. He's kona. I know.
You have two items that
came to the carbon Hashem and the Chomish is only when you're Modeh. He was never Modeh.
Right.
Good.
So, but he has to be Chayiv of something.
I recognize that this is a Chiddush.
He's not liable to return anything.
Perfect. Perfect. He said he's not. He doesn't have to return anything.
He's not liable to return anything.
Yes. Okay. Good. So, Gufa. I know. I know. I can't be saying the right shot. Okay, please wait. We're going to be spending the remainder of today's daf going through it, and I'm looking at the time. Let's go. Gufa amaravuna marav. So the Gemara says, okay, as long as you brought it up, so the Gemara says, let's talk more about this. So the mane libi adech v'alamein libi adech klum v'nishba v'awedim. So pater shenemar v'lakach v'ala v'lo yishalem. And the part that I didn't focus on the first round of going through Rav, but now I'm going to go through, is that he sees this in the pasuk. He's darshaning it from the pasukim in our parsha. The pasuk says, now we'll just spend a little more time. V'lakach ba'alav v'lo yishalem. So kevin shekiblu abalim shvua, meaning v'lakach ba'alav. The owner took. What did he take? He took a shvua. Now, I know that's not something tangible and concrete, but. And at that point in time, no longer is there a need to pay. Once the owner took a shvua, so at that point in time, that is a relinquishment of his item. The item now will stay by the kofer. Now, Rava says, now this idea, I can wrap my head around it, but limited. I'll tell you that when Rav made this comment that your kona b'shvua, that's going to be by money, meaning because by money lo tzan nitna, the money is meant to be spent. Ava pikadon b'rishus edemari kai. But when it comes to pikadon, I can't imagine. You made a shvua in your kona, meaning the item it's a pikadon. It's there and it never changed ownership. And you're telling me now via shvua it's going to change ownership? I can't imagine. But the Gemara says, okay, I know you can't imagine, but imagine. Okay, you got to expand your brain. Now we are talking about Bikadon because look contextually in the Psukim. Right? I'm not going to go through the Psukim right now, but please do. Go through the Psukim inside and you'll see it's talking about Bikadon. And so this statement to Rav that Jakona Bishvua is even by Bikadon. Yes, Rav Nachman v'kamala shmaita. Okay, so as you can imagine, this comment of Rav, this halach of Rav, is going to be discussed extensively. Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman now is going to be looking at it via. We're going to start with a brisa. Eser Rav Acha bar Minyan le Rav Nachman. So now Amoraim are challenging Rav Nachman on Rav's position. Heichin pikdoni amar lo yavad mashbiachani amar amein vaidam idam oso shachlo misham is a keren hodem atzmam misham keren v'chamish v'asham. Okay, the price over here is really straightforward, and it's basically what we've been discussing, right? You took my item, I say no, and I right mashbiachani, and I make you make a shvua, right? And then he makes a shvua, so. If now discovered to be a liar by Edim, he's got to pay back the item. If, however, he admits on his own, he has to pay Keren Chomesh V'Asham. So far, so good. It's pretty clear. And it's pretty clear from the Braisa that Rav is not right. So Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman says, okay, I hear you. I'm out to defend Rav. So the Braisa is talking about a Shvua, but not a Shvua. Shvua, lowercase shin. I just made that up. And good. Lowercase shin, meaning the shvuah was done outside of Beis Din. The only time that, according to Rav, shvuah is going to be kona is when you make a shvuah capital shin, shvuah in Beis Din. Then that shvuah is going to be kona. It has to be a bona fide. So Amalei Yachi MSA for the Gemara is really interesting. Let's go on in that brisa. Heichem Bikdani Amalei Nigna Mashbiach Ani VaAmar Amen VaIdam Idim Oso Shigan VaMisham Teshel MeKefal Hoda MeYatzmo Misham Keren VaChamish VaAsham. Now, if the defendant who is now claiming he doesn't have the item, let's say he claims item was stolen. So under those circumstances, that's throwing tan is ganav. And under those circumstances, if discovery that he was lying, and he made a shvuah to that effect. If the discovery was that he was lying via Edim, so now he has to pay kefal. Throwing tan is ganav pays kefal. If, on the other hand, he admits on his own, so then he pays keren chomesh v'asham. Okay, now, isak edach chutz beisim ika kefal. Now, we can't be talking about a shvua with lowercase shin, a shvua that's done outside of Beis Din, because that will never get us to kefal. So, Amar Le.
Even if it's
what? I'm not following. What?
Well, shvua in Beis Din is in the court system, but if you do a shvua with Eidim.
Yeah, no. He's doing the shvua in court. A claim was made against him,
right.
And he made the shvua in court.
If he does it outside of the court,
so that doesn't, in other words, it will not bring about kefal. In order to bring about kefal, it has to be done in the court. So Rav Nachman says, look, I'm still in for Rav. I'm going to defend Rav. Really, the truth of the matter is that I know what I want to tell you. What I want to tell you is that the first case of the Braisa is that Shua was done outside of Beis Din. Second case of the Braisa is that Shua was done in Beis Din. But I know that's a difficult shvua. I'm sorry, it's a difficult answer. I know you're not going to buy it. I know it. Okay, you know you're like testing the water sometimes. Let's see if this works. I know. No, you're not going to like it. So Beis Din. So in both cases, it's done in Beis Din. Lokasha kan bekafetz kan be shelo kafetz. And it's a question now of who initiated the shvua, right? In the first case in the Braisa, the defendant initiated the shvua. And so, when does Rav say that you're kona with a shvua? When you are required to make a shvua, then and only then is the shvua going to be kona. But if you initiated the shvua, so then you're not going to be kona. Okay, and why that should be right? Whatever, a lot to think about. But that's just what I'm just telling you is the halacha. On the other hand, the second part of the braisa is where Beis Din was mashbia you. What's the fancy word?
Adjure you.
They adjured you. Thank you. So the Amalei Rama Bracham LeRav Nachman Mimichti the Rav Lo Svir Lei Mashkun Nafshecha the Rav Lamalach. Okay, beautiful over here. Beautiful exchange. So Rami Bracham says to Rav Nachman, you know, you're spending a lot of time defending Rav. I know you don't hold like him, right? I know your position is different to his, and you're spending a lot of time defending him, right? Mashkun Nafshecha the Rav Lamalach. Like, in other words, you're like carrying his water. Not literal translation, but so Amar Le Lefrush Le Derav Derav Hachim Etar Tfilah Masnistan. So Rav Nachman says very calmly, look, that's what I do. In other words, I'm going to defend Rav's position. I don't agree with Rav's position, but in other words, that doesn't discount it. In other words, it's Rav. He has a position. I'd like to try to defend it. I don't agree with his conclusion, but okay. We're talking Torah over here, and we're talking about Shitas Rav. V'ha Rav Kra Kamar, another Gemara says, okay, almost wrapping up the sugya, but we got a little bit more to go. You know, Rav cited a pasuk. So the Gemara says, Amre. So in the yeshiva, this is what they said. Kra l'chol nishma shabatar nishma v'lam shalom hudasa. V'lakach ba'alav l'yishalem, sha'alav l'shalem hu nishma. Misha alav l'shalem hu nishma. So as far as the pasuk is concerned, you know what the pasuk is coming to teach me? That if you're making a shvua min ha-Torah, who makes it? In other words, in every monetary case, so you have a plaintiff, you have a defendant. Who's making the shvua? From the Torah's perspective, the defendant. That's the one making the shvua. That's what we learn from that pasuk over there. Now, when we get to Masechta Shvuos, which will be, what is it now, a year and a half from now? Who knows? It'll be a little bit from now. So when we get to the Gemara Shvua, so we're going to learn that there are going to be a couple times where the plaintiff makes a shvua, but that's mid-derabbanon. Midda Araisa, the only one making a shvua is only going to be the defendant. Okay, good. And so therefore, the pasuk is no longer available to teach me the Chiddush of Rav. Okay. We're not done. Meaning, this position of Rav, let's review. Rav has an unbelievable Chiddush. And that is that, if let's say you took an item, the owner comes over and says, no, give it back to me, and you deny, and you make a shvua, and you yourself do not make an admission. If you yourself make an admission, obviously then you have to pay back Karen Chomash and Asham. But now you are discovered to be a liar via Edim. Rav says, you do not return the item, you were Kona. How were you Kona? Through the Shvua. That's an amazing Chiddush. We continue. Meza Rav Amnuna. Okay, so here we are with the Mishnah Shvus. So we have a Shomer. And the Shomer now is denying. And the Mishnah describes, Yishbi Alav Chamisha Ba'amim. And now, it's a denial five times over. I don't know what happened after the first time, by the way. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing back in court again. Okay, but anyway, doesn't matter. The Mishnah is making a point. So the, and Bein Bifnei Beistim, Bein Shalom Bifnei Beistim, V'kafar Alav. And with each claim, he has a denial. So chayva kol achas va'achas. So now, what is going to happen is that with each denial, what's going to happen is it's going to be chayv. Now, the Mishnah Shavuos is talking about the carbon ramification, but the point is as follows. Va'amar Rabbi Shimon ma'atam ho v'yachol lachzor lahodos. Now, why is it that with every claim, every denial, and every shvua, so why is it now that there's going to be a carbon for each and every one? So Rav Shimon says because of potential, okay? And I know Ben thinks this way. I think this way as well. And that is that Rabbi Shimon always looks at potential, right? It's a kol ha-omed, right? You'll hear that throughout Shas. Rabbi Shimon says that any time that you're almost up to it, you're almost up to the next step. It's as if. So over here, okay, just to thread the needle over here. So it's similar over here. In other words, even though you didn't make an admission after every denial, but you could have. And since you could have made an admission, so therefore that final one where obviously there is going to be an admission somewhere at the end of this, but because there could have been an admission in between each one, that's enough to elicit a carbon. Okay. That's the hovi yachalach zor lahodos. Okay, good. Hacha kafetz lamatzitz amar. Now, what's happening over here? I'll tell you what's happening over here. In other words, we're not talking about the where you jump forward and initiated the shvua because hishbia alav ketani, because the wording of the Mishnah over there in Shvuos, hishbia alav, basin adjured you. Okay, good. And chutz basin lamatzitz amar bifnei basin ketani, and don't try to get out of it by saying we're outside of basin because the Mishnah says we're in basin. So over here, you were adjured and you were in basin. So and yet, what happens is at the end of all that, you didn't acquire the item. And now, according to Rav, you acquired the item. So who most of lahu mefarik lahu letzadim katani ishbi alav chutz beisin or beisin ube beisin kafatz. So the Gemara says, look, I'll try to give you an answer. Okay, a bit of a dochek. We'll split the Mishnah. When the Mishnah talks about being adjourned, the Mishnah was describing a case where you were adjourned outside of Beis Din. When the Mishnah talks about where where the Mishnah talks about when you were in Beis Din, you initiated the Shvuah. Okay. Admittedly, a tough answer, but it's an answer. Mesav Rava Balabayas Shetan Tanis kind of a Bibikadan. Okay. I have a shomer, and what does he do? He's towing Tanis Ganav. I don't have the item, but the reason why I don't have the item is because it was stolen. V'nishba v'hoda ba'oedem ima shalom ba'oedem hoda misham karen v'chamash v'asham. Imisha ba'oedem hoda misham tasham akefa v'asham. So, okay. So, again, a brisa that we've seen already numerous times. We saw this brisa back in the seventh perek, and that is that you're towing Tanis Ganav. You're a shomer. You claim the item was stolen. The item was not stolen. And how do I know that? Via both admission and edim. So now it's just a question of which came first. If the admission came first, so then Karen Chomash Vasham. If the edim came first, Kefel and Asham. Okay. So Hacha Chos Beis Din Kafat Samas Zamar Kefel Ketani. Now once again in this brisa we can't be outside of Beis Din because there is a Kefel ramification, and Kefel can only be done in Beis Din. So Elam Rava Kol Hoda Lo Shna Toin Tanis Avad Lo Shna Toin Tanis Ganav Lo Amarav. The Haksiv Vizvada, the Bai Shlimut Karen V'Chamish. So the Gemara says, finally, what we'll do is that we'll do a modification. We'll do a modification of Rav. And that is that in the case of Hoda'ah, where you yourself admit, so once you admit, so you are going to have to return the item. Rav's position that your Kona, the Shvua is going to be Kona, is not where the Shvua was followed up by Hoda. Tointan is going to Vavawi Demnami Lo Amarav, the Haksiv Tashlim Kefal. Now, if your claim was that the item was stolen and then Edom came, there too you're not going to be Kona. Why? Because there we also have a pasuk. Toin Tanis Ganav is going to be Chayv Kefal. Now, we spent a lot of time in the seventh parak going over this point, but right now all we need to know is that you're Chayv Kefal, and that's a pasuk as well. So, Ki Kamar. So, as far as Rav is concerned, when did Rav say this halacha? Gagon Shetoin Tanis Avad, V'nishba V'lohodo V'au Edom. So it is going to be somewhat more limited. It's going to be a case of, you made a claim that the item was lost. You were a shomer chinam. You made a claim that the item was lost. And you swore. And you didn't admit on yourself, but Adam came. That case only in that case is the shvur going to be kona. Okay. Azor Rav Gamda, we're almost done. In so many ways. Azor Rav Gamda, v'am l'shmaita kami de Rav Ashi Amarle. Hashem Rav Amnuna tami de Rav Yadad Amarav. The Amarav Hoda the Kamosi Va'atamar Lo Amarav. So the whole thing was said over in front of Rav Ashi, and Rav Gamda said over this entire sugya in front of Rav Ashi, and he says, look, you know, we were going back and forth in front of Rav. In fact, Rav Hamnuna was learning this in front of Rav. You know, this distinctions never came up, and all of a sudden Rav is going to come forward and say, I've got distinctions to make. We haven't seen these distinctions earlier. Amle Rav Acha Sabla Rav Ashi Rav Amnuna Hachi Kakashilei. So the Gemara says, okay. So the Gemara says, what we're going to do is that we're going to revisit Rav Hamnuna's challenge, and this is what we're going to say. Iyamar Bishlama Nishba. So in the case where you made a shvur on top of the Amud Beis, and Ka'asu Edim, subsequently followed up by Edim Mechayev, and you're going to tell me that under those circumstances, you're going to be chayev. So then I can understand how it is that you're going to incur multiple obligations. Because, you have the potential to be modem. But if you're going to tell me that when Edom come, you're going to be potter, meaning according to Rav, you made a claim. And you made a shvuah supporting that claim. And your kona. So then, if that's in fact true, so then mi ika mi didilu asis adam asade be pater va'ana neku nechayve carbon shvuah hovi yachol achzer lahodos hashem yila odi. Meaning, if there is a scenario of exemption, so how can there be multiple carbon infractions if it could result in exemption? That was the question that Rav Hamnuna was posing to Rav, and so what the Gemara says. I know this part's complicated. The Gemara says that under those circumstances, I could imagine now that Rav Hamnuna built into this entire back and forth between Rav and Rav Hamnuna was these distinctions that were made by Rava. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of a difficult sugya. Not only is it a difficult sugya, but just conceptually, it's really hard. This idea of Rav, that a claim was made against you that you owe money, you deny, you swear, and with that shvur, you're going to be kona the item. It's a little difficult to imagine, and the Gemara just spent almost a full daf discussing this very point. Okay, Amar Bicher Ba'ab is where we're going to be beginning tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Mm-hmm.